Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. We built a wall.
We built the pyramids.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Hey!
Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The biped stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met.
Let's crack it.
Some of my favorite beers have some earthy stank stuck on.
As long as it's not a metallic any longer.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Coaster Podcast. It's for your learning.
Well, hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast 2013, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week, Mike from Boston, and with me this week is...
This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right,
and it's just
right,
the two of
right.
us this week.
Just the two of us.
Chris can't handle
we
his big
can drink
beers.
Beer if we try, just the two of us.
You and I.
Beerzinga.
So, this week's show, The Big Beer Theory. That's right, folks. We got some big beers. Now, these aren't the super big, colossal beers. We're not talking like the crazy Sink the Bismarck and those kind of beers. But we got some pretty big beers.
We were shooting for 12% or higher. Because I think the last time we did a big beer specific show, I think that was the effed up issue.
Yeah. Right.
That was like 10%. 10. Yeah, 10% or higher. With these, we try to bump it up a little bit more and say, okay, well, how about 12% or higher?
Yeah. And then next time we might go, who knows, like 15. Or we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how many that... I mean, eventually I'd like to get up there to do the 30% and craziness.
Yeah.
But maybe we
can get a bottle of Utopius one of these days on the show.
Yeah. We could try that sometime. Toby, what do you have?
Well, we're each going to be trying two beers this week, and the two that I will be trying are the Firestone Walker 15 and the Stone Old Guardian Belgo Barley Wine. Both of these beers are no longer being produced. They're both retired. The 15 is from a year ago. In the fall, so it was like the fall of 2011, and the Stone is from spring of 2011. So,
I think we dipped into the beer fridge a little bit on this week's show because,
yeah, man, I'm taking out some of these cellared beers. I'm like, hey, these are the 12 percenters, so let's do it.
Well, I got myself a bottle of Mystic's Day of Doom, and I believe that's the first batch. And it was limited around the time that of the end of the world, which wasn't too long ago. that was the worst end of the world ever.
Yeah.
And I also have it was pretty lame. I also have Avery's Samael's Oak Aged Ale, and I have the 09, which is the strongest of the series, which I'll talk a little bit more about during my tasting.
The one with the biggest bowls.
That's right. Let's get the biggest bowls.
So we are representing the middle of the country this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a few.
Cool.
Where's Firestone out of? The
California? Yeah.
Yeah.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, for my first big beer of this evening, I am trying the 15 Anniversary Ale from Firestone Walker. Firestone Walker is from Paso Robles, California.
Paso Robles. That's the stuff that's going to be hard to say at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Paso Robles.
they've been brewing since 1996. This is a barrel-aged blend, so it's not very style-specific. Comes in at 12.5% ABV. It's a beer in a box. Very fancy. It's a very nice box. I might have to save this one.
It's a very nice box.
It is.
It's a special edition nice. Box.
So the 15 came out. It was released in the fall of 2011.
You forgot to tell everybody what the first step was. Step one.
Oh, yeah.
Open
Cut
the
a
box.
Hole in the box. So let me tell you what they blended this with. I think I got this info right. So it's a blend of eight different Firestone beers. 76% barley wine style. 19% of it is stout, and 5% of it is Imperial IPA.
What?
Yes.
Firestone, you crazy.
So the 15 introduces their new blonde barley wine called Hell Dorado. So that's in here.
And
Hell Dorado.
They also have the now well-established DBA, so the double DBA, which I did on the show, I believe, not too long ago. Or maybe Gina and I. Anyway, the double DBA. The Parabola. And
you did the time that I called in sick, right? Double DBA you did on October of 2012.
Yeah, Mike calls in sick issue. And they have the Parabola, the 2010 vintage Sticky Monkey, the Velvet Merkin, the Goodfoot, and Bravo. So all eight of those beers have been blended into this. And then one more is the game changer this year is they added the Double Jack to the blend. So I guess that's what the 5% of Imperial IPA is. So that's all eight of them. Nutso, I'm going to crack it. I've heard good things about the anniversary beers from Firestone. I want to say this is the first time I've had their anniversary beers.
That's going to be really interesting to be there, you know, with the brewers to decide what you're going to blend and if there's actually a science to the blend as opposed to,
yes,
you know, them thinking that, okay, if we add some of this, it's going to add these notes. Well, we don't want to add too much of the IPA or too much of the stout or whatever the case may be. I'd be interested in the learning a little bit about blending.
This is, you know, Firestone and we just had Hebrew, you know, Schmaltz. They seem to be a couple of the ones that are really getting into the blending. Not too many other breweries out there, I think, do that. But So on pour, it's pretty dark. It's got some ruby highlights, so it's like a dark copper color with ruby highlights. I got about a film of head now on the top of the glass there. Not much, and I see some particles floating around in there. So it's looking pretty murky.
Like velvet murky?
Yeah. I'm holding it, you know, almost a foot away from my face. I can catch some sort of bourbon something. Yeah. Lots of bourbon on the nose. Some, like, big grainy maltiness. Some sweetness in there, like maybe some honey. There's even a woodiness in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm looking at the blends there. That's a lot.
Some alcohol, man. It's like bourbony alcohol and maybe some molasses, some chocolate. Wow.
Sounds like it smells big.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid right now.
Don't be scared.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Coaster Toby has passed out.
Ooh, yeah. This is silky. Ooh, I like this. There's some definite alcohol warming upon first sip, going down the back of my throat. Please, no comments. There's some chocolate in there. There's a very, in the aftertaste on the tip of the tongue, you get real dry bitterness. But on the sides, you get some of that chocolate. There's a little bit of like a mocha, like a coffee chocolate kind of thing going on.
I would think, you know, when you blend so many of these beers into one, that, I mean, are you just kind of bombarded with all different things and not, or are you taking a sip and being able to kind of pick out one or two things a sip?
Now, if I think Tom in LA has talked about going to a Firestone like tap takeover at a bar in LA, and Firestone maybe had all of these different beers for everybody to try and then try the 15. Because out of all of these beers, I've had the Parabola and I've had the Double DBA.
Right.
And I've had the Double Jack, but I have not had the Helderado or the Sticky Monkey or even the Velvet Merkin. I've had the Velvet Merlin, but I've never had the Velvet Merkin.
Right.
And I think I just saw that in 4 packs here in town, or maybe 5-6 packs. Anyway, so it's kind of hard for me to be able to pick all of those out, but I can kind of see some of the Double DBA in there. Because I think the thing about the Double DBA is it's very barley wine-ish, but yet a drinkable barley wine. Because, you know, with me and not being big on barley wines, even though my next beer of the evening is going to be a barley wine. But that's what you get, man, when you're going big. Those are the beers you gotta you're going to be drinking if you're looking at 12%+. So it's kind of hard for me to be able to really search and find the different beers and go, oh yeah, this is totally, you know, the Merkin. I can totally pick up on that, you know. But blended as a whole, there's really nothing that clashes, and I'd like that kind of chocolate mocha flavor that's in there, because it's a little different, you know. It's not super sweet. It has like a really kind of dry powdery cocoa, almost like a malt ball. But in getting past that first sip and getting that warming, now that it has coated my mouth and throat and everything, I don't really pick up on the warming so much now, which is probably not a good thing. But wow, this is pretty tasty. Very smooth, you know. It's really smooth and creamy and like velvety on the tongue, and just very nice. Food pairing. This, I think, is dessert right here. I probably wouldn't have any food with this. If anything, I would maybe have like just like a plain steak with nothing really on it. Just, you know. But it's there's some really good sweetness in this, so
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm still kind of amazed on all the different beers that they're blending together here. Still,
maybe after dinner sipper, if you have like some chocolate covered raisins or something like that, or something. If you're just gonna nibble on, if you just wanted to nibble on something and not really worry too much, I think that would be fine. But on its own, I think it's pretty good on its own. So,
well, I got Beer Advocate up here for y'all. Beer Advocate users rate this a 96, which is world class, and the Brothers Ostrom haven't had a chance to try this one. Firestone Walker 15th anniversary ale comes in at 4.41 out of 2,696 ratings.
Whoa, wait a minute. 4.41?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay, well, that totally blows everything else away that we've had on the show as far as Untappd goes. Since we started doing these,
yeah,
I think that is the highest rating. Because I just mentioned, like, I don't know, a couple of shows ago about how 3.98 was like the highest.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. 4.41. That's almost a perfect perfect beer.
Most impressive.
I mean, it's not perfect, but still awesome. It's almost a 4.5.
Almost a 4.5.
All right, Mike, I'll let you drink now.
Thanks, man. We'll be back
right after this, after a quick game of Dungeons and Dragons. We'll drink our next beer.
20-sided die. That's how we roll.
Roll, get it? Nobody laughs like that on the show, though.
Pause, America.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, it's my turn, my tasting flight, my beer. I'm going to be trying Mystic Brewing Company's Day of Doom. This is from Mystic Brewery out of Chelsea, Massachusetts. Their website is www.mystic-brewery.com. This is a Belgian quadruple.
Whoa.
This, let's see, the ABV on this is 12%. Don't have the IBUs. It is a cork and cage configuration, so I'm going to uncage and pop it.
Belgian quad, I think that's high even for a quad. I want to say quads are 9-10% maybe. Typically. Well, nope.
This is I've tried a beer from this brewery before. I had the old Powder House.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely loved. And
How far are you from Chelsea?
About 40 minutes, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Roughly. It's I got a good solid finger of head. It's very, I get bubbles kind of sticking. I guess my glass wasn't as clean as I'd like it to be. I got bubbles like clinging to the side of it.
Maybe it's just scratched.
It's cloudy for sure. It is kind of like a dark apple cider color. Kind of orangey. On the nose, I can smell the yeastiness and like a bunch of like really kind of dark dried fruits.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit of cola. And I don't usually get that. You're the one who always says that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's like an alcoholic cola. Something sweet, almost like a rum and coke, but like a darker rum, like a Captain Morgan or a Myers. It's got that spiciness coming out.
Yeah, Myers would be the dark one. There's a Captain is more of like a spicy. That one's very.
Yeah.
If you're talking about Captain, yeah, that one's very
very spicy.
Spicy side, yeah. But Myers, the new one that they Myers have? Is a good dark side.
Sailor Jerry's or something. It's supposed to be kind of a dark spice rum.
Sailor Jerry's.
Anyway. But less booze, you know. It doesn't have that real kind of apparent, but it smells spicy. There's some caramel and toffee in there. Some molasses, and like I just got a whiff of smell like vanilla sugar. Like you could. Yeah, like a vanilla malty kind of sugar. You can almost like smell the candy. I gotta take a sip. I could sit here and smell this until the head completely disappears, but I gotta take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
lots of funky Belgian yeastiness going on. I gotta take another sip just to get past that.
Take another sip, get rid of that flavor. This thing about quads, man. I don't know. I've never been a big fan of quads. It's like one of the few styles that I'm always like, eh. Quads and
the triples?
Barley wines. Triples, okay. I love. It's really like weird. Triples. Like,
no, it's not weird. I think that if you back off one way or the other, or some people like, you know, either go.
But the thing about that I found, which is weird with the progression with the Belgian styles, you have the Abbey, the triple, and the quad. The mm-hmm. Abbey, I'm like, yeah, I could deal with some Abbeys. They're okay. And then I go to the triples, and almost, you know, I'm a huge fan of Belgian triples. Like, the ones that mm-hmm. I've had have been great. And then the quads, I'm always like, whoa. You know, it's like super thick and super dark fruity and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the triples, for some reason, the ones in the middle, I'm a huge fan of. I like just that it's almost Saison, but more I don't know how to explain it. It's I don't know. I just tend to really like the triples.
It's not as a bright tasting as the Saison. It's usually
not quite as crisp, like, but
it's more crisp, usually than smoother and sweet. Yeah. I like triples too. But back to my quadruple.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. What size bottle is that?
It's a 375 mil.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it looks kind of funky.
Like, what, 12 and a half ounces, something like that? But yeah, it's kind of a funky shape. It looks like it should be a bigger bottle, but it's kind of got a funky
shape. It looks like like an English ale bottle, something you'd find out of England.
And it's got the cork and cage on it. Really nice looking, though. I kind of like the look of it all. And that powder house beer, the old powder house that I had from them, I think I really, really like that, if I remember correctly. This one's got a weird, like a bread coated in some kind of fruity sugar. I'm actually getting some hops in here too, which I was not expecting.
Mm.
And I don't know if this really feels like 12. I mean, it's starting to warm up just a bit. It actually needs to be a little bit warmer than it is. It's still, it was pretty cold when I first popped it. Not sure what else to say about this one. If I'm going to pair this with something, I think this beer would go really well with food. It's a kind of beer that you'd like to have with food, with some really kind of rich, hearty, comforty foods, you know, something like rich in like a rich buttery kind of food dish, like or maybe even like a sour cream, but maybe like a beef stroganoff, but like a really nice one.
Yeah,
you know, we get a little bit of that sour creamy brown. I don't know, that something like that sounds like it might be pretty good. But also I could go with like chicken cordon bleu, maybe, you know, something buttery with the cheese and the ham. And,
right.
That might go well too. Anyway, if you get a chance, check these guys out, Mystic Brewing Company. I'm not sure how wide their distribution goes. I'll try to make a point to send some of this stuff your way for the barbecue.
Right on.
Let's see. Ratings. Beer Advocate users rate this an 81, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom have not weighed in on this beer.
Mystic Brewery Day of Doom on Untappd gets a 3.77 out of 5. Not bad. That's only 150 ratings.
Oh, not very many at all.
Yeah.
Cool. Like I said, if you get a chance, check these guys out. Mystic Brewing Company.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
Beerzinga. All right, folks, we got a little bit of beer news for you. You go to the beercoasterspodcast.com and click up on the brews paper. It will take you to the Beer Coasters Daily. And that's where we got this story. Toby, take it away.
So this story was spotted by Matt Simpson. And it is Fanfare Mobile introduces craft beer alerts service for bars, restaurants, breweries, and package stores. How awesome is that? So this mobile marketing company allows craft beer establishments to keep customers informed of new arrivals with text messaging service. And I was talking to Mike off mic about this, and I thought, you know, that's something that I've kind of been looking for, where, you know, like there's a really good bottle shop here in town, but they're way on the other side of town. And I always thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could somehow get on a list to where when this certain beer came in, the one that, you know, something I've been wanting that I know is coming out soon, get put on a list, and then they notify me somehow as soon as it comes in so I can go down there and get it, because it's all the way across town. So wouldn't that be cool? But here you go. This Fanfare Mobile, they're going to start this way for places like that, like liquor stores or whatever, to let people know via text that, hey, we got the so-and-so beer in. Come get it.
Or, hey, we only got one case of this particular beer in, so you better come down and get it, you know? And I know you can get on email lists of different bottle shops and that kind of thing, but that's not quite like having an app that can actually give you kind of updated information from all, so, you know, you have one source that, you know, you can pull from.
Sublimely Self-Righteous is now on tap at this bar.
Exactly. Like, oh, right. Sweet. If you want to know what's on tap at a bar, or you want to know what beer just came into the bottle shop, or who knows, maybe there's like a section that you got, you know, a cask update.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, I know if any of you guys that are into craft beer go to craft beer bars, you want to see what's on cask, because this is the kind of stuff that you can't actually go and purchase at a bottle shop. You can't go buy this, and the only place you can get it is at the bar or at the brewery specifically. So that's kind of cool, you know, for something like that to know, hey, this is on cask tonight, or that. I don't know. It's a cool idea. I'd like to see kind of how that grows, and I'd like to hopefully more places use it, so it'll be kind of a much larger database of information, you know.
Yeah.
At least regionally, for different places, it'd be. It seemed like it'd be a great little tool.
Yeah. So you can check out other, you know, more about craft beer alerts through craftbeeralerts.com, or you can go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link. We'll post this story there. You can read all about it. Very cool. I mean, it's technology, man.
Yeah. It's growing.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google Plus, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Yeah, okay, for my second beer. For my second big beer. I am trying the Stone Old Guardian Belgo Barley Wine Style Ale.
I want to know who came up with that term.
Belgo?
You know, that slang. Yeah, the slang of Belgo.
I don't know. I mean, New Belgium
has
the...
I don't think the Belgians would like that. It's kind of like the Irish don't like the Americans say St. Paddy's Day. I think the Belgians probably feel the same way about calling a beer Belgo style.
It's so like California, you know, bro. It's Belgo, bro. Come on now.
Would they just say Belge?
So Stone, as we know, is from Escondido, California. They've been brewing since 1996. Find out more information at their website, stonebrew.com. This is a barley wine.
Don't listen to the podcast for more information. Just go to their website.
Yeah. Comes in at 12% ABV. This beer was brewed and bottled in 2011. So it was 2 years ago. It was created on Untappd almost to the day 2 years ago. And I think it came out in February, actually.
I don't know if I've had this one.
So this is basically the Stone Old Guardian barley wine that they come out with every February, but it has Belgian yeast in it. So they don't offer any information on their website because they no longer brew this beer. And
I guess you go figure out what's in the barley wine. It's probably, like you said, it's the same thing with Belgian yeast, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to crack it. Well, they do say... Tons and tons of barley, bountiful hops, water, and Belgian yeast. So I am pouring it. Looks very pretty. It's a nice copper color with some reddish hues. Orange highlights. Very clear. Very clear. Mike can see there. Got about a half finger of head. Nice foamy / frothy head. Some big bubbles, but yet nice froth going. See how clear that is? Frothy. Can you tell how clear that is?
Kind of. Well, actually, now I can. Before I couldn't, but now, because I can actually see through glass a bit. Yeah.
Decent amount of carbonation on the nose. Some floral hops. Ooh. I'm even getting a slight hickory or like a slight beef jerky almost.
Really?
Very little. A little hint of it.
Interesting.
Grassy. Smells good. It like it smells clean, you know, like I can pick up on a little bit of maltiness in there, a little bit of graininess, but it's very clean. I don't get any alcohol. But yeah, a little bit little floral and a little bit of that weird kind of beef jerky something happening.
Taking a sip, yeah.
This is unlike any barley wine I've ever had. That beef jerkiness kind of carries over a little bit, but there's at first I got this kind of lemon zest real fast, and when I first took a sip there was this little bit of lemon zest and then this kind of a little bit of like this smoky beef jerky kind of flavor. And it's very clean on very clean mouthfeel. It's not like thick and syrupy. There's some alcohol warming happening in the chest. Yeah, there's like this quick lemony something. A little grapey. Wow, that's interesting. Now the barley wininess is starting to come out a little bit. Starting to get some of that like toasted grain.
The wininess.
The barley wininess. Yeah, get some of that toasted grain in there. Very dry aftertaste. Or very dry and slightly bitter, but still get kind of like a grassy something in the aftertaste. Definitely some warming in the chest. The chestal region.
The chestal. I can feel it in my chesticles.
Wow. I take another sip and it gets like real zippy. Like a lemongrass.
Some interesting words to describe your beers this week.
Like a, that's what happens when you're drinking 12%. I mean, you get a little more creative.
Get them creative juices flowing.
I've got to be honest and say I've never heard a beer described as zippy.
Really? I've said zippy. See, told zippy. You. I've said zippy before.
Zippy is fancy.
Zippy long stocking.
But yeah, there's this almost like lemon grassiness and the toasted grain and a little bit of like toffee in there.
It's like a stinky wildflower honey.
Yeah, a little bit of honey.
That sounds good.
She hasn't drank it yet, though.
See, she no, I'm makes just saying, it sound it better.
Like that. Oh, yeah. You know how honey
she makes it sound more appetizing than you.
What, Mike?
I said she made it sound more appetizing than you.
Because I got this weird like beef jerkiness at the beginning. There was this kind of
I can see
like the, smoky like, woody beef jerkiness in there. Very strange. Cuz I don't think that they age this in any kind of barrels or anything. I think it's just I don't know. I don't even know if I've even had the Old Guardian before, the regular. Hmm.
Because I've had the Old Guardian before. I haven't had the Belgo. The thing I think I've had from was the cat. What is it? The Cali, Cali Belgique.
Oh, Cali Belgique. Yeah, or Belgique.
However the hell they say it.
It's not awful, but there's definitely some weirdness up in there.
Yeah, it's it doesn't taste. I mean, there is a little bit of some sort of a Belgianiness, but I think that it with that addition to it and maybe now being 2 years old, like I think that it is giving it an interesting spin and having that kind of lemongrassy honey coming out in it with that Belgian yeast with a barley wine. So it's
sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's actually
sounds definitely a different for Stone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Doesn't taste like typical Stone.
That was very different from Stone. Did they do something to it? Like, I don't
know. No, I read the whole thing and he rants about sitting in an airport and drinking and it's snowing outside and he's drinking.
It tastes like there's something funky. You know what I mean? Like they did something kind of off about it or different.
Yeah, as far,
not off, but different.
As far as I know, it's their regular Old Guardian with Belgian yeast.
Hmm. Well, I guess maybe that's enough.
Yeah.
It's possible.
For a food pairing, man, I'm gonna go with like a some sort of caramel something, like a caramel cheesecake or a caramel, like a creme brulee maybe or something like that.
Really?
I agree.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's all.
Or like some
not that you asked.
Some sort of like rich caramely cheesecake type thing. Or maybe like an apple.
Apple. See, apple, now you get more interesting.
Apple strudel with caramel or something like that. A strudel.
How about an apple? How about an apple caramel strudel cheesecake?
So there you have it. That's the Old Guardian from Stone. It's the Belgo. version from 2011. It's part of their odd year, odd beer. I don't know what they're doing for 2013, if they're going to keep doing this.
We'll see. Yeah. They have to do something. No more vertical epics.
Yeah, no more vertical epics. They got to keep some weird kind of trend going.
I'm sure Stone will have, they'll have plenty of options, plenty of new things coming out.
Yeah.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 83, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom rate this a 74, which is average.
Wow. Untapped has this at a 3.8 out of 1,025 ratings.
Ah.
So there you have it. Checking in right now. Stone Old Guardian Belgo Barley Wine Style Ale. You can't get it. Unless you're cellaring it.
I said
It's good now. If you're cellaring this beer, it's good now. I like it. But I'll talk about it in Last Call.
I'm sure you'll see a bunch of pup.
Pause, America.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
It's me again, folks. I'm back for my tasting flight.
Oh, yeah. It's about to get crazy.
Oh, it's getting way crazy up in here. That's right. I'm doing Avery's Samael Oak Aged Ale. That's from Avery Brewing Company out of Boulder, Colorado. Their website is www.averybrewing.com. This is a big beer. This isn't what they actually call it, an oak aged ale, but it's probably more likely classified as a barley wine. The ABV on this beer, it says it's like between 15 and 17%. The IBUs are 41. I actually have the 09 version, which is 16.45% ABV. That
Whoa.
Is the largest of all the batches of the Samael that they've done. And they've done, they don't list actually batch 1 and 2, but they list up to batches from 3 to 8. And they're between the 14.5 to 16.45, like I said. So
I think this is, well, how much was the Hebrew Sweet 16? Was that just 16%,
yeah,
right?
I believe it was 16, yeah.
So this is higher, slightly higher.
Yeah.
Which I believe makes it the highest ABV in Beer Coaster history.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know if we've had anything that was over 16%.
Well, we've had some of the other of the Beast series.
Yeah, I mean, Chris had Mephistopheles, and
we've had bigger beers. I know.
All right,
we have.
Well, I don't know, man. 16.45 sounds really freaking high. Good luck, mister.
All right, I'm going to crack it, and I'll read you some ingredients. So, for hops, they use Columbus, Sterling, and all for their malt variety, they use two-row barley, Simpson Caramel 150, Victory, Munich, Special Roast, and they also use turbinado sugar, kind of bump up that ABV.
Cool.
And for oak, they use Raw American and Toasted American.
Toasted American.
This is a bit lighter than my previous beer. It is kind of orangey in color. It's, man, I got some dirty glasses. Again, I get carbonation sticking to the sides of the glass. But it's fairly clear. The beer's fairly clear.
Are you using like steel wool to clean your drinking glasses or something?
Maybe, I don't know. Something's going on. So, let's see. I had like a pinky finger ahead, dissipated very quickly. Actually, seems like there's a lot of carbonation here, which kind of surprises me because I would think, you know, it seems like a lot of the higher ABV beers seem, you know, smoother and less carbonated. But we'll see. On the nose, ooh, some caramel, but different than most of the time we smell caramel. This is like an orange caramel.
Orange caramel.
Yeah. You can smell that. You can actually smell that sugar, that turbinado sugar, you know, like the raw, almost kind of has a brown sugar kind of scent to it. Smells a little buttery too. Get some like a buttery caramel and some maltiness. Not really getting any kind of hop aroma in here. Some vanilla kind of oakiness. Whew. Got some alcohol permeating the senses there. There's something else. There's something. I can't quite pinpoint what the aroma is. You know, I was saying orange before with the caramel, but it might be a little bit of like a orange marmalade type aroma.
Hmm.
But there's some booze in there. You can smell it.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Sweet. It's sweet.
Sweet!
Raisiny. And then you can taste that vanilla oakiness in there, too. Comes right after the sweetness. Kind of just hangs there on the tongue. Can kind of taste kind of a toasted woody flavor on the tongue. This is very kind of barley wine-ish. Wow. The big, I want to say like a, you know when an apple's kind of overripe and you get, I don't know, it's just kind of more like a really ripe. There's no tartness from. It's like a sweet apple, you know.
Yeah,
it's almost kind of like a dough, kind of doughy something. I don't know. Wow, this is it's big. You're getting vanilla and the caramel. There's something that kind of reminds me of butterscotch, but I wouldn't say it has a big kind of butterscotch flavor because there is a butteriness aspect to it, but it doesn't quite taste like butterscotch. I think probably just because you got all those other things going on in there. Oh, man, if I'm going to pair this, I don't know what to pair this with.
Maybe the Bavarian Barbarian would be able to help you out with that.
With the food pairing? Yeah, I guess because it's such a big, strong beer. We could ask him. See what he thinks. Let's do that.
All right. Hey, Bavarian Barbarian, what would you pair with the Samael's?
Wow. Oh. I wasn't expecting that.
Welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast.
Oh. Well, there
Welcome
you have
to
it,
the
folks.
Beer Coasters family.
Yeah.
We got him from all over the world. Yeah. Beer Jargon Guy, Sipping Bear, and now the...
See, it's hard to say, isn't it?
Bavarian Barbarian.
Bavarian Barbarian. That's right. Well, Beer Advocate users rate this an 87, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom rate this a 78, which is average. And here we go. 4.08 untapped, and only 118 ratings. And it's funny because the 09 was created in October of 2011.
Because that's about the time that Untappd started, right?
That's, I was going to say, when Untappd started, right? Yeah, I guess so. Sorry. So if you get a chance, check this one out. I don't know how likely you would find the 09, but you might be able to find one of the others. At Sophie Banham says,
history revision becomes a lot more exciting as I have the Big Bang Theory DVDs and beer.
We actually got some backwash.
We do.
Email.
Yeah. This one comes from Tony Leone from
Tony Leone.
Hey, how you doing? He was a guest here on our show not so long ago.
Hey, Tony, he was a guest on the show. Tony Leone from Connecticut.
He says, hey guys, great show last week. I've been meaning to try the Clown Shoes Blakehorn Unidragon. Seems to be getting rave reviews around Connecticut. Toby, this part's for you. Says, Toby, this past New Year's Eve, I finally cracked open a New England Brewing Company's Imperial Stout Trooper.
Oh.
Not sure if you're trying that this week since it has a 9.2 ABV, but damn, it was tasty. Enjoy that whenever you get to it.
And I will be soon. I mean, Mike and I keep talking, you know, we got to do some sort of a Star Wars theme show, and that's definitely going to be in it. I still have it chilling in my cellar.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's still good. So
nice. Yeah, I'm sure there's enough Star Wars beers to fill a show anyway.
Yeah.
If not, we'll have to brew some. This one's for me, actually. It says, Mike, if I remember correctly, I think I sent you New England Brewing Company's Wet Willy Scotch Ale and the Old Burnside Tenpenny Reserve. You're right. You do remember correctly, by the way. I'm a big fan of both of those.
Them.
Hope you like them. Not sure if you're willing to beer trade, but I'd love to try some local stuff around Massachusetts that perhaps we can't get in Connecticut. My answer to that, yes, absolutely. You just have to let me know what you can't get. We have to correspond through email or whatever to try to figure out what you can't get from Massachusetts in Connecticut. So let me know. And or maybe I'll mention a handful of breweries that I don't think distribute to Connecticut, and you can let me know if you get them. And speaking of Connecticut, Tony says, I just visited one of the newest breweries, Two Roads Brewing Company. Their website is www.tworoadsbrewing.com down in Stratford. The place is huge. Despite being the newest, they are now the largest brewery in Connecticut.
Wow.
Two of the main figures behind the scene are Brad Hiddle, former chief marketing officer of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Wow. And former Southampton brewmaster Phil Markowski. In addition to making delicious local beer, they're also contract-focused. So in the coming months, we should start to see names like Evil Twin Brewing and Stillwater Utterson Ale on the shelves.
There you go.
They're also helping out Connecticut's own City Steam Brewing Company. Very exciting time to live in this state. We'll talk to you guys soon. Cheers to Chris and Dave, too.
Aw.
Thank you, Tony. We do appreciate the backwash. And, yeah, we'll be in touch. to figure out what's going on with what you can't get, and also some of these new beers that you can get now in Connecticut that I might not be able to get my hands on.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, we were just talking off mic about Stillwater and how you can't get them, and maybe now you'll start seeing them. I mean, if Connecticut might start getting some Stillwater in, you might start seeing some. And Evil Twin, I know that I think they're out of Scotland. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, very cool. All
right, everybody, last call.
You're welcome. That's right, folks. Last call. First up for last call is Toby with his pipe ratings.
Okay. Yeah, we had a couple of big beers this week.
Yeah, you could say that.
The first one I tried was the Firestone Walker 15. I had been cellaring this for over a year. Turned out to be pretty good. I really liked it. I'm going to go 4.5.
Whoa, that's more than pretty good there, pal.
It's very good. I mean, it was smooth. It was silky. It was chocolatey. It was...
silky.
You know, you chocolatey. And the fact that they blended so many of these different beers...
blended.
And it still came out as nice as it did. Now, nice. I want to apologize to Firestone Walker for not... noticing that in the box, the very nice, fancy box that the beer came in, there was a little 8x10 sheet of paper in there.
Describing the entire beer.
Yes, describing the entire beer in detail, percentage of final blend, and they talk about their goal for a barrel aging and all of that, and... the type of barrels and everything. Very nice. Two-sided sheet of paper. Lots of text printed on this. So, it made me appreciate it even more. I mean, they put a lot into this beer. And you can just tell that not just from the box, but inside the box, and then even inside the bottle, that it's something that they really strive for nowadays. They're big on their barrel aging, they're big on their blending, and they do get with local.
Not only is there a lot of beer in the beer, but there's a lot of information on the beer and time that went into putting that stuff all together, which is really, I mean, cool.
I paid $25 for the beer. It's a 22, and at the time I was like, oh man, this is expensive, you know. But
oh yeah, 25, I mean, for 22, that's big
for the amount of time that and everything that they put into it. It's kind of worth it. I mean, especially the flavor too. It came out to be a great beer. So, you know, I'm not even... yeah, $25. I mean, yeah, it's a lot, but this is a pretty good beer, you know. Yeah. And so I would recommend, if anybody does have this and they have not opened the box and looked inside, before you open it and drink the beer, read through the little sheet of paper that they put in with it. I think you'll appreciate it even more. and I will continue to support, you know, the anniversary beers and all this stuff. But they do get with... local wine makers as far as the whole blending goes, because these local winemakers in Central California have a history of blending and stuff like that. So that's kind of where they get their whole, like, their inside tips on how to blend their beers and stuff. So
interesting. I'd like to kind of sit in on that just to see what they have to say about, you know, about the blending. If it's strictly just a flavor profile thing,
right?
And you have to know those flavor profiles of each beer, so you know kind of what you're adding. Am I adding sweetness? Am I taking out bitterness? Am I, you know,
right?
You know, that kind of thing would be very, very interesting to know.
So yeah, 4.5 with that. Awesome. The Stone Old Guardian Belgo Barley Wine. I think I'm gonna go with a 4. It's pretty good. I mean, it as it warmed up, more of the dry piney hops started coming out, and there was still a little bit of Belgianiness in there somewhere to be found, but it's a different take on your typical barley wine, and I thought it was good. Like, very different. It's not syrupy. It's not super thick. It's not like really high alcohol-y. It's nice hop flavors, and yeah, nice. So four pints. Liked it.
Cool. Well, for me, the Mystic Day of Doom, I'm not sure about this one. I'm really not sure. It was interesting. It wasn't your average quad. It was good, but I also think it may be missing some things. I'm going to give it a 3.5, although I found it pretty well balanced. Even though it kind of, you know, it lacked. Actually, that's the one that actually had some hop character in it, which for me was a little weird coming out of a quadruple, you know, yeah, to get any kind of hop character out of it.
But, that's cool, though.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, interesting, different. And the beer was still balanced, you know, well, even with that kind of odd hoppiness in there. So yeah, 3.5. For the Avery Samael's oak aged ale, which is basically a big ass barley wine, it's like close to 16.5%.
That's a 12 ounce bottle.
Yes, 12 ounce bottle. And this was, I mentioned it before, it's the 09 series, batch 5, the biggest ABV of all the batches, and it's big, but the flavors were fantastic. I really, really liked it, but it's really big, but you keep wanting to sip.
So big that it hurts.
Settle down. I'm gonna give this a 4.5. I don't know what it's missing, because I don't know what it's supposed to. It's just kind of how I feel about it. Because is it perfect? No, I think it needs. I don't know. I mean, it's. I've aged this myself actually for a while. So if anything, this should have mellowed out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would ever want to try this back in 2009. I think that would probably be crazy. Although I don't actually cellar my beers. They're not like kind of optimum cellaring, you know, so it doesn't get to age as quickly, you know, because most of my beers are refrigerated. So,
but still, it's not like up and down temperature wise.
Right. No, I mean, it'll be consistent. It just doesn't, yeah, you know, it's not going to age as quickly. So it's not truly, you know, that I'm aging this for, you know, 3 years or 4 years or whatever the case may be. So yeah, I'm giving it a 4.5. It had some really, really crazy flavors, and the sweetness was good. It didn't linger too long. So I don't know, if you get a chance, check them out. I'm actually curious to maybe try some of the others to see if a lower ABV makes a difference in the beer. Who knows? Those might get a 5. I don't know. But for now, it's 4.5.
All right.
There you have it, folks.
4.5. Not perfect.
Not perfect, still but awesome. Still awesome. Much like this show. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Shout outs. I'm going to give a shout out to Jamie Y.
Why?
Jamie Y has been toasting a lot of stuff on Untappd. I'll give a shout out. And of course, Malt Porter. He's been toasting some stuff too. And
he's a toast master.
That's right.
He's the toastest with the mostest. Swedish style.
That's right. And we haven't heard from Malt Porter in a while, so you know, gotta give him a shout out. Send us some backwash, Malt. And yeah, Dave Roll posting some pictures on our Facebook wall, thinking about beer, thinking about us. We love it. Shout out to Dave Roll.
That is cool. When someone has a beer or they're at a beer bar or they find this particular beer and they think of us, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I also want to give a shout out to Lucas Widrick, also Janice Kelly, Brian Anino, and of course Tony Leone for sending us our backwash.
Tony
Leone from Beer 411 and the Connecticut Beer Trail. That's it, folks. We hope you enjoyed our Big Beer Theory show.
More Big Beer Theory shows type style to yes, come
to in follow. The future. We're going to get bigger and bigger until it just, I don't know, until something happens. Until we can't finish the show.
Yeah. I barely finished this one. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. A reminder to all our listeners, this is your show. We're just drinking in it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Check out our website.
Podcast.com.
Cheers. See you next week.
Cheers. See you next week.
What are we doing next week?
It's Black Beerstery Month.
Oh, yeah. Black Beerstery Month is next week. So the NAACP is going to be listening in.
Yep. And we'll be cranking Public Enemy and all kinds of good stuff all month long next month.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Pause, America.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
Just the two of us. We can drink beer if we try. Just the two of us.
You and I.
Like that's what happens when you're drinking 12%. I mean, you get a little more creative.
Firestone, you crazy.
Come here. Bazinga. 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 Bazinga.